Philippians in chapter 1, the first 11 verses. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. Okay, the theme, living joy. That's what we're going to be reflecting on in the next few weeks. Living joy. Joy as that which is alive, and real, and engaged, but also that sense of us living in joy. So living joy. And today, to hold together what I'm going to say, the reflections I'm going to share, just have four words. Prayer, appreciation, confidence, and blessing. All related in the passage that we've just read together to joy. Prayer, appreciation, confidence, and blessing. And I'll just take a few minutes to comment on each of these. First of all, prayer. So if you have your Bible open, you'll be able to follow these through as we go. Verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. And the first thing we note in this passage is the Apostle Paul and Timothy. I don't know how much they were writing each. Paul addresses this letter from Paul and Timothy. Maybe Timothy was there kind of offering a little bit. How about saying it this way or whatever? We don't know. But they say, when we pray with joy. I've put this word prayer up as key to joy. Now, we've commented before that joy is not to do with circumstances. We've reflected before that we often speak about happiness. Happiness is determined by our circumstances. If our bank balance is healthy, then we might feel happy. You might not, of course. It might not be healthy enough, I suppose. If our health is good, we might feel happy. If our relationships are in order, we might feel happy. It was a few weeks ago when we were reflecting on joy as we looked at character. What was it? Life. What was the American? It's just gone out of my head. The pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I do wonder sometimes how freely we can say those words, and we can hear the Americans particularly say them, that what is America about? It is about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we can so easily say those words, but do we understand what they're about? They're about circumstances. They're about engineering and creating circumstances such that we might be happy. Even at the expense of others, we will be happy. But Paul here speaks about joy. Every time I pray for you, I am filled with joy. Do you remember the story of Paul and his friends in Philippi? Paul and his friends go to Philippi and they begin telling people about Jesus. There's somebody they upset. You can read it all in Acts. There's somebody there who becomes upset. And so Paul and his followers are arrested. They are beaten. And Acts actually records they are beaten with rods. And then they're thrown in prison. They haven't done anything wrong. They've just upset a few people because they've spoken about Jesus. And they're thrown in prison. But do you remember the story about what happened when they're in prison? Remember? At midnight, they're singing hymns, and there's an earthquake, and the doors of the prison are flung open, and the jailer thinks they've all escaped, but in the end, the jailer comes to faith in Christ Jesus himself, and he and all his family are baptized. And it has, in a sense, a happy outcome, we might say. But Paul, as he recalls the events in Philippi, doesn't speak about happiness. He speaks about joy. And he says, every time I pray with joy. And I put this word prayer up because it reminds us that joy is connected with God. Joy is connected with God. Joy is that reminder to us that we are loved with an everlasting love. Joy is that reminder to us that God forgives our every sin. Joy is that reminder to us that God welcomes us, whoever we are, and whatever we've done, and whatever we've said, whatever mistakes have been made, whatever has been done to us. Joy reminds us that God welcomes us. And I think it is noteworthy that Paul, as he writes to the believers in Philippi, says, it's when I pray, I remember I'm connected to God and you're connected to God and we're in this together, loved with an everlasting love. And if we want to experience joy, we need to remember it is all related to God. Related to God, understanding we are loved with that deep and faithful love. So that's how he begins as he reflects in this letter. I thank my God in verse 3, every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. And then we get a reason for this joy. Not simply, he says that it's because we all belong to God and we are all loved with this extraordinary love from God that gives us joy. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul expresses appreciation. I experience joy every time I pray. I am overjoyed because I remember that you and I and all of us are loved with an everlasting love. We have a Father who is there for us. But I'm also filled with joy because when I remember you, I remember that I'm not in this by myself. I'm not in this by myself. He expresses appreciation, and the word that is used here, because of your partnership. Because of your partnership in the gospel. And Paul is saying, I'm not in this alone. I'm not making this journey by myself, but I know that you are making this journey with me. I'm not alone, but we are together. It is a challenge to all of us to remember that the Christian faith and the Christian journey is not a journey that we can make by ourselves. And we say it amongst ourselves probably quite often, that we are called to follow Jesus together. We share communion together to remind ourselves that we belong together to God. We are not alone. And there is no way in which we can step out of the family of God and say, well, you know, all those people at church, they're all a bit odd. Therefore, I'm going to go and do my own thing. And do you know what the truth is? We are a bit odd. Isn't that right? You know, we are. You know, when we look at each other and we think, you are so different to me. Your background, the way you think, your upbringing, whatever it is, your attitude, your accent, whatever. Yeah, we're not the same as one another. And how easy it is to step away and to say, do you know what, they are a bit odd. I'll do it better by myself. And yet Paul speaks here about partnership in the gospel. God calls each one of us to partner with every other one of us in the cause of the gospel. And this partnering in the gospel that gives Paul so much joy, it is that working out, is it? It is the hard work of what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What did it mean for Paul and Timothy to be followers of Jesus along with those in Philippi? Paul and Timothy's experience in Philippi, as I've already reminded us, was a difficult one. They got thrown in prison. We don't get thrown in prison so easily here in this country, certainly, if we are followers of Jesus. But for them, the challenge of what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? It was a risky thing to be a follower of Jesus in those times. I'm never sure about how many of the reports to believe, but I am aware of reports coming from other places in the world where it is dangerous to be a Christian. I hear about families, Christian families, who are burnt alive because they are followers of Jesus. Over the Easter weekend, the Christians meeting in Egypt were bombed because they were followers of Jesus. And the challenge for them, in some ways, is different to the challenge that we face. The challenge for them of working out, what does it mean for us to follow Jesus together? For us, the challenge to be partners in the gospel together, to work out what it means to follow Jesus together, may not be about violence or the threat of violence. It may not be about the threat of being thrown into jail, but I think that it's about more subtle things and more insidious things, about consumerism and about comfort and about money and materialism. Things that we take as granted. This is just part of who we are. This is part of our culture, part of our life. And that the challenge for us to partner together in the gospel, as Paul and Timothy did with the people in Philippi, that we might experience this same joy that they were experiencing. The challenge remains for us to work out what it means for us in our context to partner together, to fellowship, literally to fellowship together, to bind ourselves with one another in the work of the gospel. What does it mean to follow Jesus together? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I like that comment. From the first day. From that day when I got thrown in jail. From that day, you've been with me. I'm so appreciative of your partnering with me, of your fellowship with me. So Paul begins here with prayer. When I pray and I pray for you, I'm filled with joy because I remember that we're connected to God, all of us. However different we are loved with an everlasting love, and that fills me with joy. But I'm also filled with joy because I remember we're in this together. None of us are alone in this journey. We're in this together, and there is great appreciation for that. But our third word is confidence. So verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And then verse 6, being confident of this. And this is where the Apostle Paul turns, having said, I appreciate you, all of you Philippian Christians, that you partner with me, and that fills me with joy because of what you're doing. Here he reflects on what God is doing. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is my confidence. And so Paul is filled with joy in prayer because we are loved with an everlasting love. He's filled with joy out of appreciation. I am not alone. We're in this together. And we're bonded and fellowshipped together. But I'm filled with joy, confidence that God is able to do what he's promised to do. God is able to do what he promised to do. And his words, as Paul puts it, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And that is true for each one of us. It may not feel like it some of the time, but the work God has begun in you, is God capable of bringing that to completion? You know, sometimes against our best efforts, God is able to bring the work he started to completion. Most often it's we who stand in the way. Most often it's us who say, you know, I love you, God, and I want to follow you, but I really don't want to do this. I don't want to be this. And we stand in the way of the work that God is doing. But Paul is confident God is able to do it. Now, does this mean that God will do the work irrespective of us? Will God do that? If we resist what God wants to do in our lives, will he do it anyway? You know, will he strong arm us? Will he kind of, you know, he'll keep doing it until? And I think even here, there is that sense of partnering. There is that sense of partnering with God. And God returning to us time and time and time again. If I am to bring to completion the work I've begun in you, just as Paul says, I'm confident God is able to do it. God comes to us. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to change. This is the step I need you to take. And it might be, for some of us, it may be baptism. That step that does so much more than the simple act of being baptized. It may be that call from God to immerse ourselves more in his word. It may be that nudging from God to spend more time with him. It may be that encouragement from God and from others to get involved, to communicate in practical ways the love of God. Because every time we communicate love, you know, it does far more to us. You know, the ripples that spread out from that to us and to others are far greater than the act itself. And every time we read the Bible, every time we pray, the impact, the ripples that spread are far greater than the simple prayer or reading of the Bible itself. Now, this confidence that God is able to do it, I think when we grasp that, God is able to do it against our best efforts. When we grasp this confidence, then it seems to me that's when we begin to step back and we say, okay, I'll let you have your way because you are able to faithfully bring to completion what you've begun. And sometimes it's helpful for us to reflect what has God done in my life thus far. God has been faithful. He has been with me. He has loved me. He's cared for me. Even through the darkest times, he has supported me and consoled me. Do you not think that even if God asked you to do something that is so difficult because of the work he's doing in you, do you not think he will not continue to be faithful and true and loving and kind and merciful? Yes, of course he will. So Paul is able to speak of joy. Joy that comes for Paul in prayer because he remembers we're all connected to God and we are loved with an everlasting love. He's able to speak of joy because that appreciation, we're in this together. We're not alone, but we support and partner one another. And he's able to speak about with confidence about what God is doing. And this evokes joy in Paul. Now, the fourth word I put up is this word, blessing. And this is my prayer, verse 9. You see, joy is not something we experience and then settle back and think, oh, isn't that great because of the joy I'm experiencing. Blessing follows from joy. This is the blessing that Paul speaks about. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Joy, if we experience joy because we are loved by God, if we experience joy out of that appreciation that we're all connected together and we partner in this together, if we experience joy because of that confidence we have that God is able to do it in us as we work with him, what then happens is that we bless people. We bless people. And we can say to one another, do you know, I've experienced so much of God's love, so much of God's kindness, so much of God's mercy in my life. Do you know what my prayer for you is? That you would experience more of God's love and mercy and kindness. That's what I want. Do you know how successful I've been in this part of my life because God has led me and guided me and helped me? Do you know what my prayer for you is? Out of joy, I want you to be more successful than I am. I'm not worried about having a name for myself. What I want is a name for you. I want people to remember you, not me. And joy ripples out in this way. A prayer of blessing for others to say, can I serve you? Can I help you? Can I encourage you on your journey so that everything I've experienced might be yours and more? And so that's why Paul is able to say that your love may abound. No, no. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge, depth of insight, so that your actions, your life, everything about you might radiate that love and that life again. And this is what joy does. This is what joy does. Now, I recognize for us, we can so easily just, you know, body language, you know, what am I communicating? You know, closed. We can so easily say, you know, I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. So deep down. I'm protecting it, you see. Because if ever I let that joy impact my life, I might do ridiculous things. I might actually pray God's blessing upon you such that you will outshine me. Such that you will experience more of God than I've ever dreamt of. And we can do that. We can. Hold on to it and say, what I've experienced so far of God, his life and his love and his joy, that's enough for me, thanks. I'm going to hold on to it. But joy has a way of bubbling up and coming to the surface and causing us to act in fresh and refreshing ways. And this is what Paul speaks about here in this passage, which is, for me, I find it a heartwarming passage. It's about prayer. We are connected with God. We are loved with God, and that is a grounds for joy. There is appreciation. We partner together in the gospel. That is grounds for joy. We are confident that the work God began, he is able to complete it, just as we walk with him in his work. And that is a grounds for joy. And all of this has the fruit of blessing, saying to one another, I want you to succeed. I want you to grow. I want you to experience more of God than I've ever known myself. May we take this word of encouragement about joy, seek to live in joy for the sake of Christ. Amen. Let's pause and pray together. Father, thank you that you lavished your love and your kindness upon us. And Father, thank you that when we remember, when we are reminded that we are loved with an everlasting love, when we are reminded and remember ourselves that we are not in this alone, but we're in this together, when we remember that God is able to complete what you've begun, when God is able to do so much more than ever we imagined, Father, thank you for the great joy that you give us in this. Our prayer is that our love might abound more and more, that our joy might come to the surface, we might rejoice with one another in all of God's goodness, through the tough times and the good times, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Amen.